said, did he say put his arm, your hand on his shoulder and call you a so-and-so? I don't know what that was. No, if you missed last week, let's give it up for Micah preaching last week. Oh, man, what a great job. It's rare that I get to sit with you guys and listen. It was just awesome to be able to do that last week and to hear about the sozo, the salvation, the healing and salvation that comes through Christ. And they are connected, y'all, let me tell you. And this thing may pop on me today. I don't know why it is today. Misbehaving. Got new batteries. That's what it is. Let's live in that sozo, that healing. Everywhere we go, what would happen this week if you decided that this week you're going to go out and you're going to let God move through you into other people like never before? Everybody in here, find some way where you can speak life into another person. If everybody in this room did that, there are people doing it all over our church and doing that all over our community, and I love it. But let's ramp it up. Come on, y'all. Let's change this community more and more and more and more and more. Because I'm telling you, a changed person changes the church, which changes the community, which changes the county, the state, and the country, and the world. This is a global thing we're a part of. This isn't about just having some little cute service on Sunday morning. We don't have cute services, by the way. We like to pour it out, okay, for all of our guests. We're glad you're here and poured it out with us today. I want to just say a word about next Sunday. Next Sunday is our third Sunday, which is our family Sunday. My daughter-in-law, Emily, is actually going to speak next week. And we're going to have give it up for Emily. Yep. They're away today over at Round Island with her dad and at the church over there. And so look forward to having her do that. Next week's going to be about the Good Shepherd. So bring your kids that are that's ages 0 to 5 will be in kids ministry. Kindergarten and up will be in here with us. I want you to sit with your children, let them hear the word broken up and read in story form almost. It's going to be great. Look forward to that next week. And so y'all come back and be a part of that, okay? Come on. How many can say it's not about me? About 3 of you. Okay, all right. So everybody say it's not about me. In fact, look at your neighbor and say, it ain't about you either. Yeah, ain't about you either. Ain't about you either. I'm just glad I'm not sitting with Liz this morning. I can't say that to her. It ain't about you because it's all about her. Happy birthday to her, by the way. Woo! Today, man. Connor said, I hope I looked that good when I turned 35. And I said, man, you just made her whole week, man. That's awesome. And awesome. So glad for that. Hey, we're going to get in some word. Y'all ready? I'm going to ask you to, once again, you probably already got your Bible in hand, your book in your lap, and everything else. Just hold it real quick and stand with me for the reading this morning of God's Word. We don't always do that, but let's stand in honor of the Word if you can. If you can't, that's okay. Read it with me if you'd like. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Say that last phrase with me again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Can I get a big amen right there? You guys can have a seat. How many of you are or have been ever, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, have been in a dark place? Come on, y'all. At some point in your life, it's happened, right? And you didn't know what in the world. Maybe you're in it right now. And we don't want church to come and pretend. This is not pretend. This is not play-like. If you want to pour it out today, you have an opportunity now. Right now, you can do that right now if you wish. But later on, you're going to have an opportunity with our prayer team to come and pray. And whatever step or next step you need. And hey, Impact One's today. Y'all come to that this morning, right after service, has come to that. And there's all kinds of steps to take. But today, I just want you to lean into faith in who you are, and accept the life that God has given you. Part of the thing we're done is we've just given away all of our hopes and dreams and things that we could be in Christ because our life, as you mentioned, the distractions, or somebody is a distractions, or no more. We don't have, distractions are going to be there. They're just going to be there. They always are. But we do not. We allow them to rule our lives. So how many of you, when you've been in a dark place, don't raise your hand on this one, when you're in a dark place, you just kind of like it there. It's become your comfort zone. And that doesn't have to be some deep, dark-seated sin somewhere. It can be vegging out over the TV or whatever you want to call it. Finding that place where you just don't want to deal with anything that has to do with spiritual things in your life. And the reason you're there and the reason it's comfortable is because nothing's ever shined a light on it. You ever been trying to sneak around just to surprise somebody? Somebody turned the lights on too fast? That's no fun, right? You just spoil the whole surprise. Well, God today has asked me to come before you and help us all learn how he can shine a light on the dark that is in our world. Question for you and me is this. Am I ready? Are you ready to lay it down? When I say lay it down, we like to lay things down. God, you got this. And we start back to it. It's like, I laid it down. We can't take our eyes off of it. We want it gone, but it's our attention. It's like a pesky fly flying around. It's just there. And here's the thing. What we're gonna do today is ask all of us to make the choice to allow light to shine on us, in us, so he can shine through us. And that's how this works. Some of you right now, you're just in such a dark place, and maybe you're at home, online, or whatever, and you're in a dark place, whatever it is, and you don't want anybody to know, you don't want anybody, and while you're there, the enemy has you like a puppet on a string, just whatever he wants you to do that day, he's gonna, and you've gotten so used to it, some of us, we get so used to it, that we just kind of like, man, come on, enemy, just drive, I don't even want to drive anymore, I don't want to control this anymore, I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I want to push it out and let it go and leave it alone. But I can't, and you keep going back to it. In order to do this, you have to allow the light to shine in that dark place. And our text today is in Ephesians 5. It'll be on screen in your notes. When you came in, you should have been given a worship guide, or you had an opportunity for that. Grab those notes out. We're going to fill in some blanks and go through some word, okay? I have begun and did not know I was beginning a series on Ephesians, but it just has become that for me. I missed last week. It's been a few weeks I've missed in it. But this walking through Ephesians has just, once again, has just magnified Holy Spirit and what he's doing in the Word. Over and over and over again, you see in the book of Ephesians and so much of Paul's writings that there's no way that we can be fueled for who God wants us to be without Holy Spirit in our life. And you may have been like, you know, I don't know what your background or whatever it is, but I want you to understand this. It's like taking the gas out of your car or the motor out of your car. He is the motivation. He is the reason. He's the convictor, the convincer, the leader back to Jesus that we need him to be so that we don't keep going, I want to be where this over here, whatever it is for you, is just in my rearview mirror. I had this little ablation done on my liver, and I told you guys about that. And there's no more big C word on my liver. That's wonderful. That's great news. Great news. But all I heard when Liz and I went to the consultation with the doctor, he said, man, listen, this is not that bad of a procedure. A couple days, you'll be, you know, most people just, you know, you're in pain a couple days, and after that, whatever. Y'all, listen, this thing, I didn't hear the part where he says some people go 7 to 10 days without being fully recovered. I didn't even hear that part. All I heard was 2 or 3 days. And I just expected my body to be right back where it was. And it wasn't even in good shape prior to that. You know, just if I could just get back to my normal, okay? You know, kind of thing. And it was just like 2 or 3 days went past, and 4 days went past, and 5 days went past. And here we are on Sunday, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? And it just has really, really knocked me down. The enemy wants to keep me there physically and spiritually in every way. Some of you are that way spiritually. You thought, man, I'll just dabble in this a little bit, and it'll be gone in a couple of days. I'll try it once, and it'll be fine. Or going back to it. Come on, y'all. Get out of the mire, the pig slop that you were in. That stuff over there, that's what that is. And we keep going, Holy Spirit wants you to be. I'm not looking back. I'm moving forward in Christ. Will you stumble and fall? Absolutely. But you'll be falling forward, and you'll be falling into him instead of away from him. You'll be falling away from that and into him. Continue that process in our life. Here's the list Paul gives us, and you don't need much explanation for what he's about to say to us. This is the dark side. He says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. That's three spaces of like, bam, 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 right? Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk. He continues to meddle by saying crude, coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, Let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no, and he repeats them again, no immoral, no impure, or greedy person. He didn't say moral, immoral, impure, or greedy thing, because by now in the text, you know that if you're continuing to process through immorality and the idea of impurity and the idea of greed, and all we think about is what's going on in this world, then that's what we become. Let me just say that this wasn't in the notes, but let me just say we look too much like the world all the time in our lives, maybe except for Sunday morning from 9 to 10 or 10 to 11 or whatever. And then we expect that to go away. It's not going away until this becomes 100%, 365, whatever you want, 24/7, 365. He says, this impure person will inherit the kingdom of God. It will not inherit the kingdom of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. And we do that. We say, oh, man, that ain't so bad. And you hear it, and the world just does it all the time. And then they project it on the idiot box that we all look at all the time. And then we just go, oh, well, you know, it's just the way it is. And we kind of become desensitized to the issues that we don't need to be desensitized from. And the scary part is the more immature as a believer you become, or you are, you're in that teeter-totter kind of moment. You need to grow up and mature. That's the message before this one, maturing in Christ and knowing what that's all about. But this, don't be fooled. Don't excuse it, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things that people do. And there's a why behind it. That list that's on the screen right now, there's a why behind. Paul says, don't participate. How can you not? Somebody says, well, how can I get out of this trap I'm in? How can I get out of it? I keep looking back at that. How can I get away from that? Check out what he says. This is how dark gives way to light, and it cannot help itself. For once you were, everybody say were. You were. That's a past tense. You were full of darkness, but now. Everybody say, but now. I once was lost, but now I'm what? Come on, y'all. I was blind, but now I see. Y'all know the song, right? This text. This text is being lived out in us. We were that. Such were some of you. But now you have the light from the Lord. So live. Since you have this, then live as people of the light. For the light within you produces. Everybody say only. When the light is in gear and the light is moving forward, there's nothing that can come out of us except light. And the opposite's true, too. You turn it off, you speak darkness, you spew your life with darkness, that's what's coming out. Whatever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It comes out of us in that way. And that just, man, I can't get ahead of myself. Remember that. What goes in, it's got to come out. And most of the time it comes out in my mouth and what I say and how I say what I say. And that's going to play a part here in just a little bit. I want to talk to you about light just a minute. This is our year of light. We're talking about light this year. There's some things about light that I want you to understand. And the first one is that light opposes darkness. Light opposes darkness. I looked at the word opposes. It objects to. It stands against. It even argues against. Have you had that argument before? I'm not talking about, well, should I do this? Should I not? No, I'm talking about the argument where you say, I do not need to go back over here. I will not go back over there. I will argue till that is not for me anymore. I am not there anymore. This is where I am. I'm focused this way, away from all of whatever that is for you. When you shine a light on that, it cannot help but be exposed. And this idea of light, number two, dispels darkness. I like this word. When I hear dispels, I almost think filtered, that a little can come in, but not a lot. It's not what this means. It means to banish it, to eliminate it, to chase it away. Maybe your dark place is surrounding some people in your life. Somebody you need to chase up out of your life. Get out in Jesus' name. You don't have to be mean or rude or whatever, but you got to do it or else. Or else you keep following that stuff. You cannot. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. We've preached that before. But light comes in and it banishes, eliminates, chases away whatever this dark stuff is in our life. And then the third one I like best, and that is light rules the darkness. It rules the darkness. That means it controls. It's the control button. I love in my car that I have an AC that is controllable on my side and Liz's side, okay? Because hers is always at sub-zero. Mine gets up around some 67, 77, something. I want it different. And I love having that kind of control so that I don't burn her up and she doesn't freeze me to death. I like that control. We like to have control in our life. I want the remote control, generally speaking. I'm just better at it, right? I mean, I'm not better at it. I lose that battle. But we like to drive. I like to drive. I'd rather drive than someone else drive. We want to be in control until it comes to the things of darkness in our life. And then we just give the devil all the controls. Here we go. Here, have my button. Just push it whenever you want to. I'm waiting on you. Y'all, we have to stop that. We've got to take that control back because light rules the darkness. It takes authority. I love that phrase. It takes authority over that thing. You know, when you drive down the interstate and you're doing whatever you're doing and you're driving and all of a sudden you see a trooper and it doesn't matter how fast or slow you were going, you will let off the accelerator or hit the brake. You try not to hit the brake because you know if the front end dips, he knows you got you busted, right? He knows they're doing wrong. But it doesn't really matter because on that road, he is the authority. And when you see him, especially if they get in right in front of you or behind. I think some cops like to get on the interstate and drive the speed limit because they know ain't nobody coming around. And the guy that came up behind you doing 84 and sees him, he stops. We're all just, we're just cruising right along, right, until he peels off. And it's races on, baby. Whoa, you know. We go. We want to be in control. Listen, the authority, when the authority's in the room, when the authority is in here, in this room of your life, then he is ruling. We're going to get to him in a minute, but I'm going to tell you the how in just a moment. But this idea of ruling, let the light take authority. Let it dominate. Light has to dominate the darkness. Truth is, when light shows up, darkness has no choice but leave. Nobody leaves their house and turns on the dark button. You know, you don't go over, let me turn on the dark switch. We just turn off the light. And when you come in, if it's dark and you turn the lights on, the dark leaves. It cannot do it. And it doesn't matter how minuscule it is. If we had all these lights off and we could completely make it all dark, I could light a candle right here and it would illuminate this whole room. Eventually, your eyes would adjust and you would see that light. And that's what happens in our life. Scripture says evil, Paul goes on here, evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. So that secret thing you're holding on to, that's got you jailed up, and it's got you under the control of another influence that you know does not need to be in your life. It has to go. You have to take back the control. You see, the positive end of all of this is that light gives life to dead things. It's a resurrection of life that comes to the dead stuff that's in our life. I can use my drums as an illustration. I used to use my drums for not good purposes, and I enjoyed playing in places and things and doing things in wrong people, wrong crowd, wrong place at the wrong time. Okay? I'm strong enough now, I believe I could go back into those places with this being a light instead of a darkness. Okay? At that time, I couldn't. And so now, though, I use it for light. Even if I'm playing secular music, it's still a light I bring into the world. So this idea, light can bring life back to something in your life, whatever. It can redeem. Light redeems. I just thought of this. It's the redemption of we need to live this redemptive idea and theology all over our lives. Because somebody today you're going to encounter is deep inside some darkness, and they need light. And we need to stop being afraid to pray what I'm about to talk about up in people's lives. What are you going to talk about? Well, I'm about to talk about it. Paul says, this is why it is said, and I used to not understand what this little passage meant. Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I did a little research this week. This is a chant or a song, if you will, a psalm that was often sung at a person's water baptism. Coming up out of the water, you know, baptism, water baptism is that symbol of what God does in our heart, where he takes a dead person and we bury the dead person and we raise him up to new life. You come up and this song is sung over you. This arise, O sleeper. And I've seen people come up out of the water and nearly choke on water because they take such a great breath in and get so excited so quickly, because all of a sudden that dead thing is gone forever and life is inside of them. And here's the cool thing. It had nothing to do with the water except the symbolism of it, the burial under the water. It's the life that we gain. Paul says, Paul didn't say everything. You know, Acts 2 says that in that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, living for Jesus brings light into our lives, and it is spiritual warfare. And we do not take it heavily enough sometimes. We treat it so lightly. You know, church has just become that place we kind of come to. It's got to be the place we are. Wherever you are, there is life. When you walk into a place, no matter what it is, there ought to be a change in the atmosphere. I'm not talking about being all bubbly like I am. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just walking into the room. We carry the authority of Christ Jesus in us. And the problem is we've denied the power that gives us the ability to do it. And we have to stop. We have to stop. Stop one thing and start something else. How do we do it? How do we do it? The authority's been given to us. That's the thing, man. It's like you've been given a blank check at the bank and you just don't ever go cash it. And there's a lot of reasons why. It's because some of us are afraid. Probably a lot of us are just dead. Have you noticed that the less you put Jesus and the light of Jesus into your life during the week, the more heavy you feel in every aspect of your life? It falls out all over the place. It does me, man. I'll come home with it. I'll go to work with it. I go to the restaurant with it. I'll treat people differently. In the positive side of that, obviously, is true. So here's the thing. How do we do it? We live in the authority of Holy Spirit. I named this lesson this week, Living the Light of Holy Spirit. I didn't say living in the light of the Holy Spirit. I think part of the reason why we don't relate to Holy Spirit so much is we call him a thee instead of, or an it or whatever. And he is he. Amen. And he wants to be your friend. And he wants to live in you. And he wants to be with you. And he don't want to make you do crazy stuff. It's going to look crazy to some people sometimes. But he's not calling us into a world of craziness. He's calling us into the greatest peace we've ever experienced in our life. That in the face of whatever the devil wants to throw at us, we can just go, I ain't look back over there. Oh, it's you. Living our life in that kind of authority is something I think we all want to do. And Paul gives us a little verse here. It's so good. He says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Don't be drunk with wine. That will ruin your life. Life. I meant to split that screen. Did I do that? I didn't do that. I meant to split it right there. There's a don't be and an instead. Don't be drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with, and I wonder why he didn't just say be drunk with the Holy Spirit. I guess drunk has a kind of a negative connotation to it. But this filling of the Holy, boy got quiet up in it. Did y'all hear that? Man. See, y'all should be used to this by now. Did somewhere or another, we're going to talk about the life that the Holy Spirit gives us. He says, don't be drunk with wine. That will ruin. That's the dark side. That's that other list. Drunkenness will lead you to sexual immorality. It'll lead you to impurity. It'll lead you to greed. It'll lead you to all kinds of things. I'm not talking about drinking. I'm talking about being drunk. Imbibing yourself into the idolatry of the world, if you will. I'm not an idol worshiper. Really? We have to lay them down all the time. It has to be our choice to do that. Imbibe yourself with Holy Spirit. And when that happens, there's some things that are going to happen in your life. that and he describes them this way. He says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to our hearts in the Lord. How about making music to the Lord in our hearts? Now, I'm going to tell you, I misinterpreted this passage for a long time in my life. And I'm not going to tell you how I misinterpreted it. But what I used to believe about this passage does not fit at all within the context of what he's saying here. So I just want to tell you what I think he is saying. The first thing that happens when you imbibe yourself with the Holy Spirit is something's going to come out of your mouth. There's going to be a vocalization of that somehow. It can be a, yeah! Or it can be a, well, that was cool. But in Scripture, every time it happens in Scripture, every time, you check me on this, someone opens their heart to share about Jesus. If you think for a moment Holy Spirit coming to your life is going to make you do weird things that's not connected with Jesus, you're just wrong. It's all connected to Him. And he says singing. Singing is an outflow of Holy Spirit. My, did it get quiet in here? Is it me, man? Y'all driving me crazy. Y'all, this is too quiet. Y'all scaring me to death up here. I looked this word up, singing, or it's actually the word for speaking. He says singing amongst yourselves. It's the word speaking, or the Greek word is laleo. Everybody say laleo. See, you're learning a new laleo, you know, because it sounds almost just Hispanic Spanish. So it's a laleo. It's not. It's Greek. There's two words in the Bible for to speak, and one of them is laleo. It's this one. The other one is Lego. The way our professor in college taught us to remember Lego. I don't remember all the Greek stuff I learned, but I remember this. He says it's Lego. I say, let go. I say, you know, Lego. And the word Lego means, like, when you talk, you're hearing my vocals, you're understanding a language, you're listening to what I'm trying to say. But laleo took 9 pages in one of these places I read about it to describe. Originally, it meant to chirp like a bird. When a bird chirps, he's laleoing. It almost sounds like, don't it? Ask Barney Fife. He'll tell you how the birds talk. If you don't understand that, I'm sorry. You're just, you know. I'm happy today, you know. But when a bird makes a sound, everybody goes, oh, the birds sure are happy today. Wow, the birds are singing. And you have this certain feeling that comes over your life. Laleo is like that. It's connected with music. It's connected with this idea of sounds that come. Yes, it's legible words at times. But what I'm saying is it goes beyond the legible word. It's different than saying, yeah, I love you. I love you. I love you. Laleo. I think it's kind of the picture I see of this is when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You know, all a sheep can do is go, nah, they're negative animals. You ask a sheep a question, oh, nah, you know. I've never had a congregation do that back to me when I did that. That's never happened. Only at Discovery Church will people go, bah, back at you. Oh, there's so many jokes going through my mind I will not divulge to you today. By the way, thank you guys for sympathetically laughing at Micah's jokes. I mean, because I know it's what you were doing. You weren't laughing because they were funny, because they were the same jokes as I tell, but you laughed at his. I looked at Liz. I said, what are these people laughing for? But when we laleo, when Jesus speaks, we know his voice. And you might not always know it like legibly or whatever, but when you hear something spoken that's connected to Christ, you know it. And sometimes you know what not is spoken, what is not spoken about Christ. You know it's not of Christ just by the sound of it. I wish our young people could get this, because a lot of sounds in your world right now in our young people's lives, they're hearing all these voices and things that are going. I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm not talking about they're hearing voices in their head, but all the things that are around them are floating around, that everything's fine and everything's okay, and it's your truth and my truth and whatever, and all this crazy stuff you're hearing. And my fear is not that as our kids are young, kids love everybody when they're young. But when they start getting around those ages, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old now, in our culture, and they've heard all their life, we love everybody. You can't love everything. You love everybody, but you can't love everything. And we love people, we say I love you that way. We lay that into the world, and the world hears that because it comes from Holy Spirit. That probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It didn't make a lot of sense to me when I said it that just then. But we used to sing a song in church. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. We sing the cry of my heart. What does that even mean? That's laleo. It's when you sense that right now in your life there is darkness and you know it's there. You don't really know what to do with it. You need to cry out. Cry it out. If I'm learning anything about the Spirit and how He's working in my life, is it has to be spoken out. He has to be released in my life. You say, well, He's God, right? He's everywhere at the same time. How do you release God? Is He caught up some way? The thing is, God's not going to do is going to grab you by the throat and make you think or do anything. And so we're given permission. We've made choices. Everything you are right now, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, financially, physically, in every way, is because you and I made a choice at some point. And all we're asking us to do today is to choose to lean into what Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. The second part of this, He says, among yourselves. This is almost another whole sermon. I'm almost done. This idea of among yourselves. Have I told you I love you lately? I told the group that earlier, the huddle group today. But I love you, man. I love this church. I pray for you every day as much as I, by name, by scrolling a list. I don't just in every name, but I scroll through and sometimes God will point out a name and say, hey, you need to text out to this person or whatever. And I hear and see this, but I love you. I love what you stand for. I love how you live your life. Do we have room for improvement? Absolutely. All of it. That's the biggest room in the world, right? It's the room for improvement. But hey, I love you so much. Man, we get to sing and praise and honor amongst one another. It's a beautiful thing here. And then He says to make music in your hearts to the Lord. That is the peace that surpasses all understanding, in my opinion. The making music in your heart. And I just remember so many arguments about what that actually meant and all that. If you just look at the context of the text, it is when the Spirit comes inside of us, we pour out with words that wind up being singing, we laleo, we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, making music in our hearts is how that, this is not an external, internal, it's all encompassing. I feel like I'm trying to describe the universe to an ant sometimes when I talk about it. You ever try to talk to an ant? Some of y'all are going, no. I hope you haven't. Try it sometimes. They will ignore you and scurry on their way. I just feel like sometimes even learning about this, growing in what I'm even preaching and teaching to you guys is such a part of my life. It's like there's just a connection there, but there's also this mind of disconnect and fighting it and pushing against it and all these things. And man, I need so much to just lean in and say, hey, let's just go on the journey, man. This is not about an instantaneous kind of thing. Let's go on the journey together with this. Hey, can I tell you that one of the most quoted things in scriptures is do not fear. Don't fear. Let's don't be afraid. Let's stop letting fear take over our lives and ruin everything about it around us in a moment when we could be having a moment of life. We're in a moment of death because we cannot get away from the fearfulness of our hearts. What's going to happen? What are they going to do? What's going to be next? I don't know. And if you read the Bible, most of the people who follow God did not know. I love in The Chosen when Peter and Andrew call. Peter goes, he told us we're going to fish for men. I don't even know what that means. I love that. It's my favorite line in all of The Chosen so far. I don't even know what that means. And some of you don't know what it means. But I promise you, whatever, And I can promise you this based on testimony in my own life. When I was headed down, I was overhearing this stuff. I wanted it. I desired it. I pushed God out on purpose and even said it out loud. Spoke those words against my life and lived in this until I didn't. And it's been 40-something years of just struggling to find what this is. Whatever's on the other side of it. And I don't know that I'll ever arrive until I arrive. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So that's where I am. You ever say it's just a song in your heart? There's a connection between music and vocal expression of that music. There's a connection between a parent sitting with a child speaking softly or having to come down hard on something that's going on in their life in the moment. The context of all of that is going to be ruled by whether or not I have allowed the Spirit of God to be on me, in me, working through me. So we've come full circle. So when the Holy Spirit light rules, what's going to happen? I think that's the greatest fear. Prayer team, come on forward. I think people are most afraid of what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes to me or I receive or I listen to Him over everything else in my life. I want to tell you real quick. I'm going to give you the whole secret. It's going to be on the board, all of it, okay? It's going to be on the board. Y'all ready? Here's what happens. Holy Spirit light rules in your life. You have love. You love. You have joy. Not the happiness. That's happiness. That's goofy. It's a genuineness that in the midst of the diagnosis, you can say, God is still God. That's the joy. Peace. Don't some of you just need some peace? Sometimes the most holy thing I do is take a nap. Patience. I ain't gonna talk about that one right now. Kindness. Just be nice to people. Everybody can be nice to people. Goodness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. Never again. This is just out of my control. It's who I am. When we give ourselves over to the leading and the authority of Holy Spirit in our lives, you're not going to be weird. You're going to be Jesus-like. If it leads you outside of anything besides Jesus, then it's not the Holy Spirit. It's not. Y'all stand with me. Father, as I pray over the group today, I pray, God, that you will open our hearts up to you. Father, open our hearts. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, you said if we're evil people and we can give our kids good things, so how much more will the Heavenly Father give us Holy Spirit when we ask? So I ask, if you want to receive today, just raise your hands, but hold your hands out like this. Hold your hand palms up and just literally say it. You can say it out loud. It's okay here. Holy Spirit, come. God, give me Holy Spirit. God, give me your Spirit. Help me to be like who you are. Help me to not just think about Jesus, but to be with him and become him and to do as he did. And Holy Spirit, you can be the only one that can give us that power, that ability, that authority to dispel the darkness in our life and us to walk in the calm peace of who Jesus is. May you be glorified. I pray for the wind of the Spirit. Not afraid of anything that God has for me. And so God, speak through us, come to us, come in us, imbibe us, completely fill us with Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we have our prayer team down front. Lights are dim. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's watching you. Nobody's going to judge you for coming for prayer. So just step out right now and walk down here and be prayed over today. Come on, anybody in the room struggling with some darkness in your life, you need to get out. Hey, we just want to pray with you. We don't need to know all your secrets. We just need to pray with you. You need to reach out to the Father. You guys struggling a little bit maybe in your marriage or something like that? Come down as a couple. Not because we think you've got it all wrong and you got it all messed up, but because we see strength as you come together and you inquire of the Lord what He would do in your life. Come and pray about next steps. Pray about what your next steps are. What does that need to be? What does that even look like? What does it even look like? Come and ask God to help you live in the love, joy, and peace, the patience, and the kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control that Holy Spirit will lead you into. The only change that's going to take place is going to be for good. I promise you that. I promise you that.
And I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stay and say, you split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. Oh, your perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I declare that I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God.
That is a proclamation of a truth. Takes place in our heart. We come to Jesus, we give our lives to Him. If you've never named Jesus as Lord, today is the day to do that. And begin the journey. Begin the journey. Maybe you have named Him as Lord and you have walked away from Him. You can re-begin the journey. I love our God because He's continually forgiveness. Continual forgiveness is our Father. Let Him do that for you today. This morning, if you have something in your life, you just want me. You're not going to come down here and talk to anybody. I'm not going to ask you to say anything out loud, but I'd ask you to raise your hand if there's something I can in general pray over you about right now. Anybody in the room, come on. Anybody, just anything specific that's in your heart. You don't have to tell anybody about it. I just want to pray. We got one here, two. Come on, raise your hand. Raise them high so I can see them. Three, four. Come on. Thank y'all. Thank you guys. Four, five. Come on. More and more and more coming across the room. I just want to, don't be afraid. This is a moment for you. Don't be afraid of this. And it's more than just raising your hand in a room. It's a continual walk with Him. But I want to start here with you today. So God, so many raised hands right now. There's all kinds of things going on in people's lives, Lord. There's stresses, there's issues, there's familial issues, there's work problems, there's people struggling with disease. God, cancer is gone in Jesus' name. God, we pray over anxiety. May it leave in Jesus' name. Father, we can only be sustained by You. So anywhere there is unrest or no peace, we pray, Father, right now that You release that. And that people can enjoy and bask in the peace that surpasses all understanding. It goes beyond anything we can think or imagine, Father, because of who You are. And so we pray that prayer over one today. Could you say amen with me right there? Amen. Amen. And if in that moment right then, you made a decision to come to Christ, please let me know right afterwards. We'd love to connect you with what your next steps are. Maybe you've made that step, but you want water baptism or whatever it is. We want to take care of whatever we can help you with that at all, and we would love to be able to have the honor of doing that. Hey, God bless you guys. You guys with kids, make sure you speak a word of life over the children's ministry today. When you pick up your children, they do a great work, and we appreciate them, applaud them, and we're just so glad we have that for you guys. If you want to continue to pray, our team will be here for a few minutes afterwards. Feel free to stay. Otherwise, you are dismissed. We love you. If you're new with us, please stay around. Let us get to know you better.